Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's call called How to Heal Emotional Patterns. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Emma Roberts. But before I do, I just thought I'd take a few moments up front to share just how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour this evening, and over the course of the hour, I will be asking Emma a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the majority of questions will have actually been submitted through the site prior to the call. Now, I guess the inspiration for having a call on breaking emotional patterns or really stepping into using the tool EFT or emotional freedom technique was probably seeded around 2 years ago when I was first exposed to EFT. And just experimenting with it, it helped me to clear a lot of stuck emotional energy that wanted to move through me at the time. And I just thought it was a phenomenal technique to really put myself back into flow and move through that stuck place that I was in. And I just thought it was a really fertile topic for exploration on our People You Should Meet series. Now, I've only just recently become friends with Emma through the wonders of Facebook, and Emma herself is a EFT master and also an EFT trainer. And she's also a qualified clinical hypnotherapist and an NLP master practitioner as well. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Emma to the call this evening. Hey there, Emma.
Hi, thank you very much for inviting me.
Now, Emma, I just was wondering, there's probably people on the call who are very familiar with the term EFT, but for people who may not have actually been exposed to the term before, I was just wondering if you could start us at the very top by just explaining what exactly is EFT.
Okay. Well, in a nutshell, it's an emotional acupuncture. It's a bringing together of Western psychological approaches and Eastern energy approaches, if you like. The Chinese have thought that energy travels around the body through meridians for a long, long time. I'm sure most people are familiar with that concept. And what we're doing with EFT is we're looking for the blocks that occur in our energy systems when we get a specific negative thought or negative memory. That block that kind of disrupts our energy systems, going back to Einstein, whereby we're all energy, everything is energy. So if you think about taking an exam, for instance, a lot of people get a sort of a nervous feeling in their stomach or whatever. That we'd call a disruption in the energy system, kind of connected to the thought of, I have to take an exam. So therefore, we tap around a series of points, which are the end points of all the energy, of all the meridians. There are 12 meridians and two what they call governing vessels, and some of which overlap. So we tap around on the points whilst we're tuned into a particular thought or a particular emotion or a particular memory, and thereby clearing the disruption in our systems to that thought. Is that making sense to you, Damien?
Great, that's fantastic. Yeah,
yeah.
Excellent.
Good.
And
it's a lot easier to do than to explain, I think.
Yeah. Now, I was just wondering, like, my dad's a great user of acupuncture, actually. Any time I actually think about having acupuncture, I think the thought of needles going in actually terrifies me. So is EFT something that you can use as a replacement to something like acupuncture, or should they
absolutely
be used together?
You can use it as a replacement or alongside it. I mean, EFT is one of those amazing things. It's not really a therapy so much as a tool. It's a tool that anybody can take and use for themselves alongside anything, whether it's traditional medical approaches or any other form of alternative healing. We always often say we're not proud with EFT. We'll work with anything. So far, to our knowledge, nobody's come to any harm through that. You can tap alongside anything that just enhances, makes the process easier. For instance, in drug treatments such as chemotherapy for cancer, you can tap alongside the chemotherapy, and it seems to be that if you clear your blocks to having the drug in your body, the side effects are considerably less, and the drug just is allowed to work, to do its job. So no, it can go with yes, it can go with anything, and no, we're not proud.
Great. And what was it personally that inspired you to to first explore EFT as a practitioner, and then to go on and actually train as a trainer of EFT?
Well, Sue Beer, who I run the EFT Centre with, and I, we were in the supervision session for hypnotherapy a long time ago now, and we were shown a little clip of, it wasn't actually Gary Craig, I don't know who it was, somebody tapping on the dog phobia, and the phobia seemed to just go. And Sue and I just kind of wanted to know more about that. It just looked so easy. It was one of what Gary refers to as his one-minute wonders. And they tapped around a few points and bang, no more dog phobia. And strange enough, both Sue and I got really taken by this, but nobody else in the supervision session was remotely interested in it. So we then got all Gary Craig's videos from his website, studied those, and set about doing trainings. We trained with Gary, and it kind of has an energy of itself. It sort of, it grabbed us, and we followed it. We're still following it, really. It's I'll go for anything that works.
Yeah.
And it does, and it's amazing. So
great.
That's really what led me to it.
Excellent. Next question I had for you was, what kind of ailments can EFT be used to treat?
Well, again, we'd say try it on everything. Try it on anything. Across the board, I mean, the worst that can happen is that nothing will happen, and that's pretty unlikely. I kind of go by the basis that we all are energy. We all have an energy system, and energy is a constantly moving thing. Therefore, tapping on it, something's going to be happening, even if we're not aware of it. But you can work on emotional issues, for instance, anger in the present, or unresolved anger from something in the past. You can do an emotional spring clean, which is, I think, really exciting. You can go through your entire emotional history, which I can explain to you how to do that in a moment, and just break patterns that have been there forever in the day. Sometimes you'll get stuck. Your unconscious mind will block you. You won't be able to get there. That's when you need to go and see a practitioner. But the practitioner's role, really, with EFT is not so much one of therapist, although obviously we're there to guide and to keep people safe in the process, but more to help them through a particular block and then set people off on a path again of their own. So because the joy of EFT, unlike acupuncture or talk therapies, is actually you can do it for yourself. You know, you can't start sticking little needles in yourself. Well, I wouldn't want to anyway, but maybe you can. But you can actually take this and you can do so much for yourself. So you don't have to kind of spill all your life history out to somebody else. You know yourself, and you know when you get changes. And it's so exciting when you can actually do something that, you know, you've done it very quickly as well.
Mm.
And that's what I think the real joy of EFT is, the real gift of it, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can try it on anything, and everybody can do it.
Excellent. Now, in terms of results, are results something that typically will show up straight away, or does it actually, for some issues, does it take a longer series of tappings to actually bring about a healing or a transformation?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you can. There's a lot been written in EFT about what Gary Craig calls one-minute wonders. I should say that Gary Craig is the founder of EFT in California. One-minute wonders happen. That's when you can do a couple of rounds and something that you've had for years completely goes. But that's not always the case by any means. We're actually a lot more complex than that. So if you think of a particular problem, I know we'll discuss some later, but supposing you have a phobia of, let's go back to the phobia of dogs, you've got a phobia of dogs, and that's connected to one memory when one dog bit you and you felt you got scared. If you clear the emotional charge, the way you feel now about that memory, then that phobia will disappear. On the other hand, if you've had several experiences with dogs or a history of other things happening to you along the same lines, you need to go through each piece, which in EFT terms we call aspects. So it's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. When you get all the aspects, you will clear the emotion or the memory or whatever it is that you're working with, and it won't come back. That's the same with physical things as well. And it's just fascinating.
Mm.
But you have to be a good detective.
Yeah, yeah. Now, for people who have... Well, they may be consciously aware of events that they can clear. Now, for people that may be unconscious of particular events, or indeed may feel as if a particular trauma or phobia has been brought in through a past life. Is that something that EFT mm-hmm. can work with as well?
Absolutely, yes. You just work with what you've got. So you would work with the fact that there's a feeling there, because how do they know that they feel that? Well, that will show up somewhere in their physiology. They'll get some sense somewhere that this has happened in a past life or whatever. Something will be telling them that. So that's where you start. It's often much, much easier to start tapping on the physical symptoms of an emotion or a memory than it is to start tapping on the actual emotion itself. And quite often by tapping on the physical symptoms, the whole thing clears anyway. You don't actually ever need to go into the memory or the past life or whatever it is. Sometimes you do, but it's a very simple thing to do, because you just follow exactly what your unconscious produces for you. So you start where you're at, which is, you know, I think there might be something from a past life here. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And as that thought kind of relaxes, if you like, and releases, your unconscious will provide you with the next piece. And as long as you notice it, that will lead you to the solution.
Great.
It really is that simple. It's just about being aware and noticing what comes up. So when I say you notice the next piece, it could be a snippet of a memory. You could suddenly find yourself thinking about somebody. It's not random. You know, that's where you go next, even if it makes no sense whatsoever.
Mm.
At some level it will do.
Right, that's very interesting. So in terms of actually going into it, the detective work is just being very observant of what pops up as you tap the physical symptoms.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you can just completely, we have chasing the pain, which is just, so physical symptoms move, they change, and you can just tap around chasing those physical symptoms, and you'll suddenly find that, you know, when you're working with a backache, for instance, you might find that the depression you've had for 5 years has just completely lifted, but you haven't focused on it at all.
Right.
So that would be maybe the emotional contributor to the physical situation, if you like.
Fantastic. Well, I'm certainly very excited, Emma, and I was just wondering if we could maybe go through a quick little process where maybe people at home may get the opportunity to experience EFT for the first time ever. I was just wondering if you could actually talk me through the actual steps you'd go through when you're working with someone.
Absolutely.
With EFT.
Okay, what would you like to work on? How are you feeling right now?
Great.
Oh, well, that's my good. Negative emotion.
Quite extraordinary. let's see. Let's just say...
Well, a very common thing is anxiety, isn't it?
Okay. That's a perfect for now, I think. Yeah, perfect topic to start with.
Yeah? Okay. So what I'll teach you is the shortcut version of EFT, because that's what I use 99.9% of the time, and it's very, very effective.
Okay.
And much easier to use in yourself than the longer versions that are out there. So the first thing you want to do is what we call the setup. So if you take your dominant hand, so if you're right-handed, tap with your right hand, take a couple of fingers from that hand and tap on the side of your other hand between the base of your little finger and the top of your wrist, so the way you deliver a karate chop to somebody.
Right,
okay?
So halfway between the finger and the wrist.
Yeah, and what you want to remember is that you're sending a vibration down this point, okay? So you don't want to be hammering yourself and hurting yourself, but you also want it to be, you know, firm enough that you can feel it.
Okay.
All right, and you want to tap about 6 or 7 times. So as you tap on that point...
And Emma, I just wanted to say this is safe for everyone at home to tap along with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everyone tap
great.
Along. I'm going to get you, Damien, to repeat after me, but I'm
okay,
sure
I will,
else can too. That would be great. Okay, so tapping on the side of your hand there where you deliver a karate chop, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you say what we call a setup statement, which is where you acknowledge the negative that you're working with. So the negative feeling, in this case, anxiety.
Okay. Yep.
And then we affix a positive affirmation to that, which I'm going to use the default affirmation, which is I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Now, some people may have an issue with that. Sometimes that creates a reaction in itself. If it does, just go with I'm okay, or I'm good, or I'm cool, or whatever it is that works for you at the moment. Okay, but I'm going to stick with that because I think that's the most powerful.
Great.
All right, so tapping on that spot. If you repeat after me 3 times, even though I'm feeling anxious.
Even though I'm feeling anxious.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I'm feeling anxious.
Even though I'm feeling anxious.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
And once more, even though I'm feeling anxious.
Even though I'm feeling anxious.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Okay, so that's the first part. It's called the setup. And it doesn't matter if you don't believe a word of it. It seems your energy system doesn't care if you believe it or not. Okay?
Mm.
So then what you want to do is you want to take, using the same couple of fingers, tap on the following points. The first point is at the beginning of your eyebrow. It doesn't matter which side of your face, just above the bridge of your nose. And as you tap there, say this anxiety.
So this is the point in between my eyebrows?
Yeah, but just at the beginning of one of the eyebrows, ideally. But yeah,
okay, yep.
On the bridge of your nose. Okay, this anxiety.
This anxiety?
Then I want you to tap on the side of your eye, on that bony bit. This anxiety.
This is a different point, is it? Or?
Yep, on the side of your eye.
Okay, yep, this anxiety.
The third point, under your eye, again on the bony bit. This anxiety.
This anxiety.
Fourth point, under your nose. This anxiety.
This anxiety.
The fifth point, on your chin. This anxiety.
This anxiety.
The sixth point is called the collarbone point, but we say to people, tap where you've knot a tie, because then you send a vibration along both collarbone points. So just where you've knot a tie, this anxiety.
This anxiety.
Under one arm, about 2 or 3 inches below your armpit, this anxiety.
This anxiety.
And then on the top of your head, sort of in the middle, tap round in the circle, this anxiety.
This anxiety.
Okay, take a deep breath in and out. Okay, now you were feeling great to start off with, but I would really like how you're feeling now.
Well, actually, I can definitely feel the energy just moving. It's almost like a connecting type of sensation, like all the way from the side of the palm all the way up my arm,
and certainly
all around my head and upper chest region as well.
Okay, great, fantastic. Other things that people might feel after when they start off is people can tend to feel very tired. You might feel you need to yawn or cough. Some people like to burp their way through this. Sometimes people feel a little bit dizzy, but that's just keep tapping and that will go. You might feel hot, and you're likely at some point, if you do it for very long, to feel dehydrated. You need to drink a lot of water when you're doing this. Energy travels through water. Okay, but that's the shortcut version of EFT, and those 8 points plus the karate chop point are enough to get you really going well with this.
Mm.
That's all you need. Okay.
Wow. And with the longer version, how is that subtly different?
The longer version includes some points on the fingers, and also what we call the 9 gamut, which is a kind of brain balancing technique where you move your eyes around and you sing, well, you hum and you count and things. That can be useful. The points on the fingers are actually also duplicated in the face, so that's why we can leave them out. Very, very occasionally, if somebody's very stuck, I might use the 9 gamut with them, but I would say that's probably once or twice a year, and I work 24/7 with this, so.
Wow.
You really don't need to know it at this point. I think it complicates things for people when they're starting off.
Okay.
However, if you are interested in learning more about it, you can go to Gary Craig's website, and there's a free manual that you can download on there, which will tell you more details. And that's www.emo, short for emotional, free, short for freedom.com.
Great.
It's an amazing resource base.
Yeah, phenomenal gesture from Gary Craig, actually, just to make that as freely available as possible to the
emo. Absolutely. I mean, Gary's plan is to get a tapper in every household in the world.
Yeah.
And I think he's well on his way, actually. He's done amazingly well in a very short space of time.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, say for someone working on So say, just using my example of anxiety, how many cycles should I go through before I stop tapping? Is it just something...
I think that varies. I mean, it varies totally. I mean, if you're anxious to the point of a panic attack, you'd need to keep tapping probably longer. You might not even bother with the words. But if it was a mild anxiety, it might go very quickly. Really, you know, when you start to get bored of the tapping or, you know, you get distracted, you can assume that the anxiety, in this case, has gone. And you come back and you check into the thought that was creating anxiety in the first place a bit later and see, because there may be another aspect to it that you haven't caught. But really, just you can do, I mean, you can do 2 or 3 rounds, check in with yourself, see what's happening. Sometimes some practitioners like to use a SUD scale, which is a scale of 0 to 10, which is a very good way, if you're working with yourself, of monitoring what's happening for you. Because when you've been highly anxious and you go to feeling calm, it's quite difficult to remember just how anxious you were in the first place. So it's quite a good way of kind of validating your work, giving it a number when you start off and then checking in on where it's gone.
Mm.
And I'm teaching you very formulaic way of tapping. Once you've got the hang of the points, once you've got those that they're available to you kind of unconsciously, then you can start varying your language so it becomes less kind of less monotonous. It has more meaning for you.
Mm. Okay.
But it's important to get the tapping protocol sort of in the unconscious mind first.
Right.
I know my arm now does the tapping, or my hand does the tapping, and I have no idea what my hand's doing. I'm concentrating on the work with the person I'm working with.
Yeah.
Because I always tap on the client rather than have them tap on themselves.
Okay. Now, for people who may be working with a variety of different challenges, would you recommend them work on one challenge at a time, or is it something that you can actually work on the anxiety and then go on and move on to the back pain or the headache or the...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I would stick with one until you've got a significant change, and then move on to the next. But always go with what's getting your attention most.
Mm.
You know, if suddenly the back pain seems much worse than the anxiety, then you can assume that the anxiety is kind of reduced enough for the back pain to kind of have a voice.
Mm.
So that's when you move across to it. But always making sure you go back and test your work, go back and check in and see, you know, challenge yourself. Okay, what did I have to think of to make myself anxious? I'll think about that again. I'll vividly imagine that now, see what happens.
Mm.
You know, and if there's still a reaction, then you've got some more work to do. Mm. I mean, EFT works. It really, really works. If it doesn't seem to be working, it's because not coming at it from the right angle. It might be that, you know, there's something else going on below the anxiety, or it's reminding you of something else, or you need to kind of go back to origins of anxiety. You know,
sure.
where you first started feeling that, or whatever.
Okay, great. Now, Emma, you also train people on how to use EFT. I was just wondering if you could share with me what kind of people feel actually drawn to using EFT as a practitioner tool.
Well, a lot of complementary therapists anyway, people like Reiki practitioners, acupuncturists, reflexologists, hypnotherapists. But we also find ourselves training a lot of psychotherapists, we've trained some psychiatrists, and the medical field in the UK is getting more and more interested. The NHS trusts in Solihull, I think it is, have sent a lot of their staff on continual professional development trainings. We've trained a lot of nurses in our cancer work. So it's just beginning to get out there into the sort of mainstream medical field, which is really exciting, really exciting. That's one of my real passions, is to get it there so that every nurse, every doctor knows how to tap.
Wow, that's amazing. And was there any resistance in the traditional medical community to start with?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think there's resistance for most people when they first come across it. We're asking you to tap on yourself and speak out loud. So I've decided we just stop explaining it and get them doing it now. And then when people actually see the results, feel it for themselves, it's harder to argue the toss. But, you know, there is resistance. Definitely. The medical field are resistant to the word energy for a start.
Mm.
You know, acupuncture has done a huge amount to help because acupuncture seems to be accepted fairly mainstream now by the medical profession. But no, we've got a long way to go. I'm not going to pretend we're there, but we're making a start.
Yeah,
which is great.
Excellent. And I just had a memory, Emma, of when I first actually tried EFT. One of the things that I found really interesting actually was just a very hypnotic effect of just cycling the words through my head. Like I completely love and accept myself. And I was just wondering if you could, like you've done hypnotherapy yourself. Is it specifically designed to induce a relaxed hypnotic state, or is that just something that's just a nice natural byproduct of doing the tapping and repeating the mantras?
No, it's definitely not designed to create a hypnotic state at all. I mean, Gary Craig's not a hypnotherapist, and nor is Roger Callahan before him, who came up with thought field therapy, where this is a derivation of. But I do agree that it is quite hypnotic. It's less hypnotic if you're varying the words. I think one of the advantages of the kind of, say, trance state, an altered state, if you like, a state of relaxation, of calmness, is that, for instance, this is fantastic for people who can't sleep, who have problems sleeping. And how would I say to them, if you vividly imagine tapping around, don't actually do the physical activity of it, but just vividly imagine that somebody is tapping on you, tapping all the points. So allowing your thoughts that are keeping you awake to come, but imagine being tapped on, and talk yourself around the points, and you'll find that people tend to just nod off. It makes people drowsy. It's a fantastic way of breaking the cycle, if you like, of insomnia, and easy to do, doesn't require any effort. So, I don't see it as a hypnotic tool as such. No,
great.
But I do think completely love and accept myself is an interesting phrase, and I think that's the ultimate aim of all therapy, actually. And it's just beginning to put in that suggestion that, you know, because what you're basically saying with that setup statement is that, even though I'm feeling awful, I love and accept myself anyway. You know, I'm okay even with this problem, which is huge, because obviously a lot of people are very self-judgmental, very critical of themselves if they have a problem that they don't like, they resist it. But this is accepting it and then changing it. And I think, you know, what you resist persists. So if you accept something and then with a view to changing it, I think that's massive, actually, very, very important.
Yeah.
It's designed to get past what Roger Callahan discovered this and called psychological reversal, which is that sort of self-sabotage part of us.
Right.
So, you know, the part of us that we go on a diet on Monday and have the chocolate cake on Wednesday, and I'm sure we've all done that one way or another. You know, and the, somehow tapping on the karate chop point, or there is another point that you can use as well, another place that you can use for that, but sticking at the moment for simplicity's sake with the karate chop point, seems to get us past that self-sabotage that's in us. It's like putting our batteries in the right way. It lets everything else work. All the other tapping is effective. So very, very important, and a huge discovery, actually.
Yeah, I think that just a whole notion of unconditional love. I think lots of people, if they are familiar with the concept, they're comfortable in extending it to other people, the universe, but often that actually giving that unconditional love to yourself can be one of the most challenging things to do, so...
Absolutely,
it's really nice that you share that.
And it's really the starting place too, isn't it? I mean, you know, you can't change other people. You can offer, but you can't actually change other people. The only place you can start with is you. And I really believe that every piece of work that we do on ourselves in clearing our emotional issues, our negative issues, resonates. I think it just goes out into the field and another positive energy force is created. I think it's really, really exciting. And a lot more is happening than we can actually prove, if you like.
Yeah. Cool.
Which is
great.
Wonderful.
And I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank everyone at home, actually, for moving along through the tapping. I hope everyone found that to be an interesting process, and certainly look forward to hearing your experiences of tapping while on the call, particularly if it's your first time. Now, Emma, we had a whole series of questions that actually came in before the call, so I'm actually just going to choose a few as we go along, and it'd be great to hear your insights on it.
Okay.
And I'm going to actually start with a question from Tanya. And Tanya's in the United States. And Tanya asks, why do I keep finding myself in the same emotional situations no matter how much I change my life?
Okay. Well, my guess is, not knowing the history, my guess is that you haven't got to the root, to the core issues that are supporting those patterns, if you like, those emotional situations. Something still draws you towards them, and that's the piece that you haven't managed to get yet. So for something like that where you've tried all sorts of things, which it sounds like Tanya has, I mean, saying no matter how much I change my life, that's probably a moment when you need to work with somebody else who can get you through the unconscious blocks that are holding you in place. But the way to go about that is to look at the emotional situation. Let's take either the first one or the worst one out of these situations and create, if you like, a mini movie of that. And then I want you to imagine that you can zoom in to the kind of the crescendo of that, to the crux of it, the piece that carries the emotional charge. It could just be a look or a sound of a voice. It's likely to be very short, maybe a minute, 2 minutes. And then tap around that, give it a title, and say, for instance, I don't know, this betrayal situation, this betrayal movie. And then you tap around, just as we did with anxiety, but saying, even though I have this X movie, this betrayal movie, whatever, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. And when you can clear your emotional charge to that one, either the first one or the worst one, continue to go through the other ones, checking how you feel about them. And what you'll find is that your response to them will change, and you won't have to go through all of them in order to clear the pattern. But you may find that you need somebody to kind of help steer you in the right direction for that. Sometimes it's very difficult to see our own saboteurs, if you like, and somebody external can kind of get them for you. And I'm not suggesting long-term therapy, maybe one session, two sessions, get somebody to point you on track. But anyway, sorry, I hope that helps you, Tanya.
Cool, that's a great response.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. I'll move on to a question here from John. And John is in the United Kingdom.
Okay.
Hi, Emma and Damien. My question. I am constantly having to be vigilant around my rage and defense mechanisms from childhood abuse, control and power. Although I have come a long way and strive to be a loving person who can be close and intimate in the truest sense, I invariably find myself pushing people away through mockery and menace, in brackets, as a wall of energy. Is there a way of releasing this pattern safely, please? Love and light to both of you.
Okay. Yes, that's a simple answer to that. There is. I don't know what work John's already done, but with EFT, you can go back to really severely traumatic memories and release the charge without having to step into the memory. Either with a therapist, and if you're talking about childhood abuse, I would suggest that you do work with somebody there who's got the skills to hold you in a safe space, to keep you safe whilst you do it. Or if that's really impossible for you, you can use the same method as I was just mentioning with Tanya, which is what we call a movie technique in EFT, so that you make this movie of the particular times. Childhood abuse is, you know, that in EFT terms is a global concept. It'll be made up of lots and lots of specific memories, okay? And you want to get the specific memories. You want to get, it's a bit like downloading files off the computer. You can go to the main folder, but you need to get the list of contents. So, again, making each one into a mini movie, giving it a title, and then putting it as far away from you as it needs to go, maybe on the opposite wall, maybe out in space, you know, a long way away, but where you can have a sense, where you know it is, where you can keep an eye on it, if you like. And then you tap around on the title. So even though I have this mother memory, father memory, whatever it is, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. When you feel that you've tapped around enough that you could possibly look at the movie, have a look at it. But it's not like traditional psychotherapy or counseling. This, it's not about braving through your pain. The only way to clear the emotional charge from these memories is to stop at any piece where you feel any intensity, be that physical or emotional, and tap on that bit. And you can literally tap on, even though I feel angry at that bit, you don't have to say what that content is. Okay, but you have to be painstakingly careful about that until you can run the whole movie without having an emotional response or an excessive emotional response. It's not going to make you into a robot. It's also not going to make something that was terrible okay. It doesn't, it's not kind of, some people say, well, if I don't feel anything about these memories, then they've got away with it. They're off the hook. No, they're not at all. But you are. It gives you freedom from them. At the moment, the memories and the combination of the learnings that you have taken from them, I imagine, are creating these feelings and this need to push people away. Because for whatever reason, it's not safe for people to be too close to you, not safe for people to be intimate with you. All of that is changeable. It's perfectly possible to change it. It's just that it needs painstaking care, and I would really suggest working with an advanced practitioner on anything as sensitive as childhood abuse. I hope that helps.
Yeah,
there are lots of advanced practitioners in the UK.
Yeah. I love what you just said there, Emma. The whole idea that you were off the hook. And I remember when I first started reading about the whole concept of forgiveness, and I think it was my natural Scorpio nature, like initially, like the thought of actually forgiving anyone on any subject at all was just initially beyond me. But when I actually got that idea that, like, forgiveness is for yourself first.
Absolutely.
And yeah, you know, I just love that you shared that that you personally are off the hook. That was really powerful.
Yeah, I mean, we spend, actually, in our level 3 trainings, we spend quite a lot of time doing group discussions on the concept of forgiveness, because it's got so many kind of negative connotations and moral and religious and all the rest of it, steeped in dogma. But actually, I think if you think of it as letting go rather than, because, you know, if you think about something like anger and you're carrying around anger at somebody in the past, do they know about it? Chances are they haven't the slightest idea, but you're still feeling the pain. Is that reasonable? It's not. So if you can tap to clear the emotions around something, you know, it doesn't make it okay, but it stops you suffering. And that's what it's all about, really. You know, surely, particularly in childhood abuse, surely you've suffered enough. You know, don't need to be carrying more pain around with you. But I'm not saying rock in there and say, okay, I'm going to forgive everybody left, right and centre, because that's also not how it works. It's, you know, it's about getting to a point. Forgiveness is a point that you'll get to in your work or letting go or releasing when it's appropriate. You cannot force it. And certainly as therapists, you absolutely can't put it on a client. You know, it has to be an organic kind of growth through the therapy.
Sure. Excellent. That's a great response.
That's an interesting topic.
Definitely. Now I have a question from Sherry, and Sherry's in South Africa. And Cherry asks, how do you prevent wrong thought patterns from reasserting themselves? Why are there only fleeting revelations of truth that disappear quickly again?
Okay. The only way that wrong thought processes, if you like, will reassert themselves is if you give the energy to them. So I think initially, you know, I'm not quite sure how you're judging a right or wrong thought pattern anyway. I'm assuming a wrong thought pattern is something that's creating, you know, upset to you or disturbance of some form to you. So it's about recognizing the thought patterns, first of all, and tapping on the actual thoughts. And if that doesn't give you release, then you look on, okay, well, where did those thoughts come from? When did I decide that? Where did I learn that? Because very often we learn things as children, for instance, given, you know, as much as we can, given the scope and the knowledge that we have at that age, maybe 8 or 9 or whatever. But, you know, we get stuck in that way of thinking, and then we collect kind of experiences that will support our way of thinking. And what needs to happen is to go back to that child's way of thinking and recognize that that was the best that you could do at that point when you established that thought pattern. Because I really genuinely think that everybody, whatever they're thinking, it's always the best doing. It's the best thing they could have done at that moment, but that doesn't make it right for now for them. So tracing the history of it, noticing how you feel when you think that thought. Maybe there's a physical response. Well, there will be a physical response, actually, but maybe you actually notice a physical response, in which case you could just start on tapping on the physical response. And if you're persistent with this and keep on going, you will clear it, and gradually the thoughts will stop coming back. And as you eliminate the roots with a method which I would like to talk about in a minute called the personal peace process, which is a kind of emotional spring clean, the thought patterns will change, beliefs change, you'll just feel different, and you'll recognize. I mean, Gary Craig often talks about, once you can laugh at our own comedies, we stitch ourselves up all the time. Well, we do, unconsciously. I mean, we're not setting out to do that. And once we can recognize that and see the humor in the patterns and the way we've stitched ourselves up, it's very freeing. And that will come through tapping and reducing the emotional charge that you feel when you think the thought now. And as far as repeating revelations of truth, do they disappear or are they just covered up? I mean, I think that our truth is love, and it's there anyway. It doesn't matter what we do, it is actually there and we know it. It's just things happen that put a cloud over it, if you like. And as you tap with the EFT, you get more and more connected to your truth, and it doesn't quickly disappear again. And things will happen which will knock you off. Maybe you'll have somebody will have an argument with you or whatever. It's not about being in a perfect place of truth all the time, but you know how to return there quickly, because there isn't anything sort of dragging you down over years and years and years of history. So, I mean, all I can say is take it from me from a place of trust, really, that the more work you do with this, the more likely it is that the truth, your truth, will just be there. That's just who you are. So I hope that's making some sort of sense, Damien.
Yeah, that's great. I like the... one of my favourite thoughts was of Michelangelo. It just popped up actually when you were sharing that about how he always believed that there was a sculpture sitting inside a stone that literally just wanted to emerge, and just removing the emotional layers will literally bring you back to that magnificent structure that's inside each and every single one of us.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that really is so true, and I think actually that's almost our point, our reason for being here, is to discover that, and that's part of our journey. That's really exciting.
Exciting. Now I've got one more question for you, Emma, and this one's from Mahendra in the United Kingdom. And Mahendra asks, I've been suffering from traumas for nearly 47 years and would like to know how to overcome these.
Okay. Well, it slightly depends on the sort of traumas as to whether you need to work with somebody or not, I think, and that's for you to assess. But that brings me actually very nicely into what I just mentioned, which was the personal peace process. Again, going back to the website I quoted earlier, Gary Craig's website, which is www.emofree.com, if you key personal peace process into the search engine there, you'll come up with a very neat way of working through your own emotional baggage. We all have it. But what you need to do is get yourself a notepad and write down 100 or so memories that, when you bring them to mind now, still have an emotional charge. They still make you feel embarrassed, angry, sad, whatever, ashamed, guilty. You know how that? Well, I hope you know this. Don't you? How when you can have some memories that it was awful, but okay, hey, it's over, forget it, sort of thing, and you really mean that. And then there are other things, and they can be very little things, that you think about them and they make you just cringe with embarrassment, or, that first romance or whatever it is. The ones that get an emotional reaction, an emotional charge for you now, not when they happen, but now, are ones that are still showing up in the way you live your life today. So you write a list of those. Then going back to that movie technique, you zoom in on each of those to the piece that really holds the bit that's so embarrassing or so hurtful or whatever it is, and you give that piece a name, and then you tap, even though I have these, I don't know, embarrassment emotions, or even though I have these Mrs. Smith hit me emotions, whatever it is, until you can clear that particular memory of any emotional charge, so that, yeah, okay, she shouldn't have done that, or, yeah, okay, it was embarrassing then, but I'm fine with it now. Then you move on. I suggest people take one a day. We teach this actually at our level one, because I think it's so important. You take one a day, and I guarantee to you that by the end of a month, you will feel completely different. And it could take you 5 minutes, some might take you 20 minutes, half an hour, but the majority probably won't. And you want to be looking for the, you know, we're not looking specifically for big traumas, although, you know, people obviously have them, unfortunately, but the little T traumas, the things like, you know, being hauled up in class because you failed your 2x table, those sorts of things, not being talked to in the playground, the things that kind of accumulate as kind of unease, if you like. You want to just put those on your list and tap through them and see how you feel. I mean, 47 years of trauma, you know, 47 years, it sounds like it's going to be quite a long list. That may sound daunting. Actually, you won't need to tap through all of it. By the time you get to about 10 or 11, you'll find that they're interconnected in their emotion, in the emotional response. And what will have happened is that as you've been tapping on the first ones, maybe the worst ones or the earliest ones, the charge on the other ones will have dropped. So it's not like you have to go through everything in a massive amount of detail. They've done a lot of work with EFT, with the Vietnam vets in the States, actually now the Iraqi vets too. And they haven't, you know, these are people with hundreds and hundreds of hideous memories, you know, disturbing memories, PTSD, flashbacks. And they found changes in symptoms and sleeping and, you know, just remarkable changes in these guys by looking at maybe between 5 and 10 of these horrific memories in a very safe way so they don't have to go into them, keeping them at a distance in the movie, just like I was saying before. So that's how I'd start if I was you, Mahendra. I would start off by making your list. If you feel overpowered by the list, just tap on it, even though I don't think I can do this, even though it feels like so much, even though I'm scared to get started, whatever it is that you're feeling, until that feeling has changed. So we call it sneaking up on it. It's a very gentle approach with EFT. Never force yourself to go anywhere. Just go with where you are at the moment. Great. Okay?
That's great. It's a very, very powerful process for anyone, really, I think.
It is. It's amazing. I would recommend everybody did the personal peace process. I think it's just the most extraordinary development, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, even if you're feeling 100%, you can feel 110% or
yeah, yeah,
more.
Yeah, yeah. I'll certainly be practicing the peace process straight after this call. Now, Emma, we're coming up to the end of our hour.
Uh-huh.
And I know that people on the call will have really resonated with your message and wisdom this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people on the call are probably viewing the call from two different angles. One's from a very much a self-healing point of view or a mm-hmm. family and friend healing point of view. And there are also mm-hmm. other people who are interested in EFT from a practitioner point of view as well. And I was just wondering if you could share how people can stay in touch with you and secondly, how people could continue their work with you.
Okay, absolutely. Well, my website is the best way, or email is the best way of staying in touch, which is www.the, as in T for Tommy, H for Hector, E for emotional, EFT Center, spelt the English way. Apologies to the Americans. RE, so .com. So www.theeftcenter.com, and my email is info@theeftcenter.com, and if you put my name in the subject line, I'll get it straight away. So as far as trainings are concerned, we run all levels of trainings, level 1, 2 and 3, and a series of DVDs as well from North London at the moment, although if you get a big enough group for us, we're prepared to travel. Sue and I do all our trainings together. We also do mentoring days. We've got one tomorrow, actually, in North London. And we run our two self-development trainings that I mentioned earlier, I think, Opening to Love and Healing the Addicted Heart, And we've got specialist workshops too for advanced practitioners in sexual abuse, trauma and cancer. So, you know, we welcome anybody who wants to come and join us. We've also developed a diploma called Integrated Energy Techniques, which is brings me around in a full circle, really, because when I started, I said that EFT is not really a therapy, it's more of a tool. And it's, you know, it's how you use it that's so important. It's what you bring with it. And with our integrated energy techniques, we're aiming to provide a toolbox wherein EFT is the main tool, if you like, if that makes any sense. We're calling on work from, well, the metaphysical approach plus hypnotherapy, Ericksonian hypnotherapy, NLP techniques. So we'll be an NLP practitionership available as part of the certification too, should you wish it. Just it's a very fun, and it's a very exciting place to be, actually. We're having a lot of fun developing these things. And I'm trying to put a book together as well on cancer, which is going slightly slowly because everything else is kind of...
Sounds like I'm very busy with everything else.
Yeah, that's without seeing all the clients I see, so there you go.
Yeah. But, I just had one question for you on that, Emma, actually. With the trainings now, are they suitable for someone who is just interested in a self-healing context? Or
absolutely.
Are they really
absolutely
geared up? Yeah.
They're very, we place huge emphasis on practice because anybody can learn the theory, anybody can learn to tap the points, but actually the practice, it's all in the practice. So all our trainings are very experiential. You know, you will be tapping on people, you'll be tapping on yourself, you'll be putting what you learn into action. Hugely important.
Great. And what kind of breakthroughs have you witnessed in your students just by going through the different exercises and techniques?
Well, don't ask me that. I can't begin to tell you. I've seen so many amazing breakthroughs, so many things. People who haven't sung ever publicly, standing up and singing. People who've been walking, I'm actually not going to say that because it sounds a bit like a sort of cult thing, but people who've been having problems walking upright and pains disappearing and lives changing. I can't really even begin to tell you. Sue and I were talking yesterday at a cancer workshop we were doing, saying the problem is we see so many miracles now that we miss them as miracles.
Mm.
You know, things that when we started in this 8 or so years ago, we just thought, wow, how did that happen? We're just going, yeah, okay, that's good, great.
Another day in the office.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's not saying it's not fun. I mean, it's good fun. It's fascinating and wonderful seeing people change and seeing them doing it for themselves. But you know, actually the changes, the things that happen are miraculous sometimes. I mean, just amazing. I don't know what's going on, but something is.
Wow. Well, I think it's definitely seems like it's very well set in this whole world of change that we're experiencing at the moment, and this whole world of self-empowerment. And it just seems like a phenomenal tool for people who really want to get to their truth and heal themselves and really get to that place of love in their lives as well.
Yeah, it is absolutely, and physical or emotional healing. And I think they're the same thing, actually. I think you heal one, the other heals. It's just amazing. I'm very, very grateful to Gary Craig, really, for getting it out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Fantastic.
Well, Emma, I'm incredibly grateful for you actually sharing this last hour with me and everyone on the call. Taken a lot away from the experience, and I've actually just mapped out the peace process, so I'll be certainly experimenting with that after the call.
Well, thank you very much.
Just want to say thank you very much.
Okay, pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Cool. And just in closing, Emma, I was just wondering if you had one last word of advice for people who are on that healing journey and really want to step into that place of unconditional love, just to bring the whole call together for us.
Well, I would ask yourself, what is it that's stopping you being there? What's the block? And it may be a physical block, it may be a belief, you know, and tap to clear that. And just to apply yourself to just an emotional spring clean. As I say, I mean, the personal peace process will catapult you into nearer to personal peace anyway. That's, the, you know, as is the name. And self-acceptance, and just take EFT and just use it. Try it on anything. Have fun with it. I mean, it's good fun, actually. it's taken away that need for therapy to be serious.
Mm.
You know, you are allowed to have fun with it. just tap on anything, tap and rant, tap and, you know, whatever. But
right.
Use it, and you will find that the layers will go, and that your truth, as we were talking about earlier, or a sense of inner peace, will become there. It's not going to be there all the time because we live in this real world, but it will be much more readily accessible. You know, you'll be able to get, you'll be knocked off occasionally by things, but you'll get back on track very quickly.
Mm.
You know, when you're not Excellent. Carrying that baggage.
Excellent closing words, Emma. Once again, thank you very much. And thank you also to people at home. This is a real pleasure for me to hold this space and share so many wonderful people with you on a weekly basis. This call will actually be made available for you to listen back to tomorrow and also to share with your friends. So if you do, just check back onto the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website tomorrow under the recordings page. And there will also be an opportunity for you to share your thoughts on the call and your experiences. So if you have had a powerful experience this evening just trying out your tapping, please do share it with us. It's great to have that feedback on the website as well. Excellent. So thanks once again, Emma, and thank you everyone at home.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good evening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.